Operator, give me R&I. Cole Phelps, badge number 1247. I'd like to add a game named L.A. Noir to the endless list.
Patching you through.
And welcome, Kimberly.
Hi.
To It's So Bad, which is a podcast. How are you doing?
Oh, just peachy. So thrilled to be talking about this game.
Why are you thrilled about this game?
Because it sucks.
Why does it suck?
You want to dive right in?
No, we don't want to dive right in. So you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. What we are doing today is adding a game to our endless list of video games, which is a list of the games that goes currently from Super Mario 64 all the way down to the lowest of low, Jurassic Park Trespasser. Every week we add a new game to our list, which we rank in order of the importance of the game, in order of how good the game is, if it held up over time, and we do, and you know, if it looks good, if the music is good, etc. We currently have 65 games on our endless list, and we are adding this week L.A. Noir to the list, the endless list.
I think it's going to be number 66.
It's not going to be number 66. It cannot be number 66. It is not that bad of a game. It is pretty bad.
What 65?
65 is Jurassic Park Trespasser.
What was so bad about that?
It was a series of things, plethora of things.
Worse than L.A. Noir?
Oh, yes. Way worse. Oh. But what is this game?
Okay. I don't know what you would call its genre, per se, but this game, do you want to talk about the type of game it is or the story, in quotes?
What type of game it is it?
Well, you tell me. You know the genres better than I do.
Yeah, it's kind of like action-adventure-y, but also like narrative-driven game where the primary verb is what they call it. Verbs is how you interact with games. The primary verb is you interviewing suspects in cases. It's not you moving around or necessarily shooting people or talking to people, but it's interviewing people to get answers to questions. Although there is shooting that happens occasionally, in the 20-hour game that we played, there was probably a handful of moments where there were shootings. It's not the primary verb of the game.
Really picked up at the end, though. Seems like the shootings increased towards the end.
Yeah. It was all bad. It was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So, you played this game back in the day. Why did you want to play this game?
Well, if I recall correctly, I remember seeing trailers for it on television, and it seemed kind of like what I thought would be a very highly stylized Hollywood vintage throwback feel of a choose-your-own-adventure type game.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, no.
So, like, it's a game where you, again, interview people, and you have to figure out if they're lying or not.
Yeah, but they all look like they're lying.
But they all don't look like they're lying, too. It's, like, very hard. You can't game the lying, which makes it a weird game. Because usually games you can game to understand how to play the game.
Game what?
You can, like, game the game.
Game the game.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Like, you can trick the game, you can figure out the game.
Oh.
And then you understand how to play it and you can progress. But in this game, it was largely determined by the actor or the director or the facial technology they used to capture the faces that determined whether or not somebody lied or not, which kind of like broke the game because it wasn't, that's what made it not very good.
Well, I think the thing with L.A. Noire was that it started out in concept and in theory as a pretty revolutionary way to capture the imagery of a video game, the yeah. different types of camera angles that they used, I don't know the actual terminology of any of this, so forgive me.
So it was actually, they used motion scan, which captured the actor's facial expressions using 32 cameras surrounding the actor. Mm-hmm. And we watched like a behind the scenes thing with some of the actors.
And it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, the facial technology is still better than what people use today, and you find in video games, I think. It still looks very, very good.
Great.
The problem with it is that it captures everything from the shoulders up, the neck up, and then the rest of the body is still the 10-year-old models of 3D
and I feel like characters.
So they all look like very janky hands, and the movements of their bodies isn't very great, but the face is like tremendous. They have so many features on the face, and yeah. so much stuff moves.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that, and I think they tried to build a game kind of around that technology.
Yes, absolutely.
And it failed miserably.
And the team that built this, that made this game, was called Team Bondi. This game was published eventually by Rockstar Games. The director is Brendan McNamara, who was an Australian folk. He previously worked on a game called The Getaway for Team Soho, which was based, I think, in the US or the UK. But then he moved to his native Australia to start Team Bondi in 2004. This game did not come out until 2011.
Wait, they were working on it for that long?
For 7 years, they were working on this game.
You know, it's interesting because that is right around the same time frame that Mad Men was big.
And yeah, that's a great question. So, Mad Men, when did it start? I'm looking it up right now. 2007. So, the thing about this game is it uses a ton of actors and actresses from Mad Men. So there's like, and when I say a ton, I mean there's like 25 different actors and actresses that appeared in both this game and Mad Men.
Which right, is so
like
they were working simultaneously on both projects.
Yes.
Wasn't it the same casting director for both?
Yeah, the same casting director, and that's why there's so much overlap. So, yeah, the main character was, I forget what his name was in Mad Men.
Do you remember his name?
Ken Anderson?
Was it?
No.
He was
Ken Anderson's a professional wrestler.
Well, I don't know that.
Ken Cosgrove.
I knew it was Ken.
Aaron Staton.
Mm-hmm.
Is Cole Phelps.
Cole Phelps.
Badge number 1247.
Yep. Give me R&I.
You know what's funny on his IMDb page? The first thing that pops up. So it says known for.
Uh-huh.
And that's like their most popular things. Mm-hmm. The first thing is L.A. Noire, and the second thing is Mad Men.
Well, he did spend more time with L.A. Noire than he ever probably did on set for Mad Men.
Well, he did have that time period where he had an eye patch on Mad Men for some reason. Do you remember that?
What happened there?
I don't remember.
We should revisit that show.
I don't think so.
Why not? Why is your hesitation about revisiting these like long committal shows?
There's so many new stuff that I want to watch and stuff that I haven't watched before that I'd like to prefer to watch that.
See, and I like to roll myself up in a nice old blanket of comfort.
He really hasn't been in very much, Andy Staton. He was in Ray Donovan for 9 episodes after Mad Men. Narcos Mexico, which I don't think is the original Narcos.
No, I think that was a spinoff.
He was in 10 episodes of. And he was also in The Right Stuff.
Is that a New Kids on the Block movie?
No, it was about the space program.
What? The Right Stuff? That's a terrible name.
Well, that's what they said. They had The Right Stuff. The yeah. astronauts. Well, okay.
Don't name a movie that, though.
We mentioned that this game used motion scan, but another thing that this game is would eventually go on to be. Originally, it was supposed to be published by Sony Computer Entertainment, I believe, mm-hmm. which is people who make PlayStation. They backed out because it took so long, and Rockstar picked it up. And they're kind of notorious for doing this type of stuff, so Rockstar also picked up from Capcom Red Dead Revolver originally, which became Red Dead Redemption in the second game.
Got it.
This game is notable for being a Rockstar game. The only Rockstar game that doesn't use the Rockstar Advanced Game Engine, otherwise known as Rage. It was used by GTA 4, Red Dead Redemption, GTA 5, Red Dead Redemption 2. They used a custom game engine for this game, but for most of it, it's like very much looks like a Grand Theft Auto game. So you can get into cars and move around a city. The problem is the city feels like it's a Hollywood set. There's nothing behind any of the buildings. There's people on the ground, but you can't even hit them in your car or do anything. Yeah. They just kind of move out of the way.
Yeah, at all. I think the most exciting thing was when we got bored and just decided to destroy every hot dog cart we saw.
Yeah, that happened.
That's because the game is so boring.
The game is really boring.
We had to intervene in many ways.
We had to make our own thing. So the story of the game is that there really wasn't a story. You move up from different desks until the very end of the game. That is when kind of an overarching story happens. So you move from the traffic desk to like auto stealing.
Right. Auto stealing?
Yeah.
Like theft?
Car theft?
I don't, you know, it's funny. I meant to actually look it up before this podcast recording to see what the first and second desks were.
There is, the first desk is like traffic. So you're just on
the beat. You're like in your street clothes. Right. Your cop clothes.
And the second was the car theft.
Mm-hmm.
And the third was murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth was vice.
And then the fifth was arson.
Arson.
So the thing about this game is that...
So there's like a number of cases you have to solve at each level, and then you move up or down.
And the format for solving all the cases is exactly the same.
Yeah, so there's a murder or there's a crime scene that you have to go to.
Typically investigate.
It involves somebody dead at the scene. And you have to investigate it, you get leads, and then you go to interview people.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to gauge, as you mentioned, whether the people that you're questioning are telling the truth or lying. And you're supposed to be able to pick up on like facial tics and cues, which usually means shifty eyes or turning their head away. And that's when you can be like, you're lying.
Or like their throat, Adam's apple will bob up
and down. I never noticed that.
That's supposed to be something also. And like moving around or shifting around. Yeah.
But the problem is they all kind of wobbled a little bit.
Yeah,
and they all kind of shifty eyed you.
There's no real tell.
No.
No real tell at
no
all.
No real tell.
And also, like, the version we played, so we played the PS4 version, and they remastered this for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And before this, it originally came out on Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. So before the remaster, the buttons you could push were truth, doubt, or lie, which make a lot of sense if you're interviewing somebody.
Right.
You could be like, oh, this person's telling the truth. You can doubt this person. Mm-hmm. Or you can...
accuse them of lying.
Yeah, accuse them of lying and then present a piece of evidence. In the PS4 and the remastered versions, it's good cop, bad cop, and evidence.
No, it wasn't evidence. It was something else. It was good cop, bad cop, and I don't remember what
They like renamed it. So at the very outset, when we weren't really paying attention, it got really confusing what we had to press when it was good cop or bad cop. Like, does that mean lying or does that mean telling the truth?
Well, the third one, whatever that was labeled as, the one that you go to accuse them as, it was something.
I think it's accuse.
Is it accuse?
Yeah.
But it made me feel like it didn't quite explain that accuse them of lying, and therefore then you pick a piece of evidence that you had seen at your various crime scenes and in your investigation to say, oh no, I know you're lying about this because I found your shoe at this location or blah, 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 blah. But to me, for the longest time, accuse meant I'm going to accuse you of this crime I'm trying to solve. So I was like, never accuse them until you are absolutely sure you can close this case.
Right.
Which, had I known earlier, it might have made it slightly more interesting.
So the thing about the interviews, too, it wasn't just the fact that it's really hard to tell if somebody was lying or not because they didn't... It sometimes depend upon the actor or actress. It's just, like, were they good at conveying they were lying or not? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it depended upon what lines they were doing because it was written poorly. But also, and that part made it the game I think, bad. The fact that you couldn't over a course of time get better at telling somebody, because a game, right, there's a progression usually. So you start off as bad at a game, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to like get good, and right. the game is supposed to guide you on that path to getting good. Mm-hmm. This game, you start at a baseline level and you stay there the entire time.
Yeah, there's no evolution.
Because there's no way you can tell if the person's telling the truth or not.
The only thing that changes throughout the entire game is the subject of the case that you are investigating.
Yeah, and that's it. And like, that's a bad part aspect of the interviews. But I would also say another bad aspect is the fact that if you ask somebody a question and you get that question wrong, what happens is if you get a question right, there's more information they give you. Mm-hmm. They'll give you a person's name. They'll give you a location to check out so that you can continue on with the case. But there's sometimes when you got the question wrong and you ask the next question and they refer back to the original question like you got it right. Like they yep. include some of the information that you're supposed to get.
Right.
Like a name or something.
They don't take you down different pathways right. based on what your choices
there's only,
were.
There's only two responses.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very linear.
It's very, very... So the questioning is just bad. It doesn't work. It's not dynamic.
No, it's not dynamic at all. There's no storytelling thread that carries you through until the very, very end. And you've already invested like 16 hours into this boring game, hoping to get to the end. And then they drop this like weird, half-assed, told storyline on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it bad.
So the only thing that ties the game together really in, because it's all really discrete missions. So like you'll get a crime that you have to investigate and finish mm-hmm. it, and then you move on, and then he gets promoted. And there's no overarching storyline in the game whatsoever except for two things. So in between each desk that you go to, the traffic desk or the murder desk or whatever,
yeah.
there are flashbacks to his time in the war. Right?
Right.
Cole Phelps' time in the war. And that, like, is supposed to give you some indication of the character of his character, like, the history of his character, right? But yeah. they are told so poorly, and the pacing of those scenes is so bad that it's, like, you get no information.
None.
You're supposed to, like, think that he is, like, questionable morals.
Right.
But you don't really get that detail until, like, the last 20 minutes of the game.
Right.
So there's all this thing like, oh, he's a war hero, haha, and like quotes that people talk around, but they never talk about the actual detail and
delivery. Like, what did he do that made him a war hero?
Yeah, and also, why are people like snickering that he's a war hero? Because that's what they do a lot in this game. Times before the end of the game.
Well, the thing is, okay, so with all these flashbacks or side flashes into other scenarios that are happening in the LA Noir world that are supposed to tie in to the overarching narrative, which is barely evident, none of them connect and they don't make any sense at all.
Even newspaper clippings. So mm-hmm. the other piece of overarching story is that you can pick up newspapers that you randomly find. We found 13 of them, which there's 13 in the game, mm-hmm. and they tell you the story that leads up to the very last desk, but it doesn't tell it in a coherent fashion whatsoever.
Or give you any indication that you're going to do anything with this story.
Like, did you figure out before the end that there was a army guy who was stealing heroin to give to a doctor?
No.
Like, it didn't make any sense.
It's morphine,
yeah, right.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense at all. And you know what? You know what's even more disgraceful is that I got so fed up halfway through this game about how boring and dull and repetitive it was that I actually read ahead to be like, what the hell is this game all about? And knowing what was going to happen with the storyline still didn't make it easy to understand.
right.
Like, the storyline itself, as I read it online, made sense. And I was like, oh, why was this not introduced earlier?
It's just not
20 hours they could have invested into this.
And that's kind of another big thing is this game is like 20 plus hours long, and it's really fucking long, and it's really fucking repetitive.
Yep.
It's just the same shit over and over again.
It was
again.
Such a chore. Every time we would sit down to play it, we would have to convince ourselves that it was time to play it.
Yeah, and also there's like a lot of, I know this is supposed to be the 40s, but Jesus fucking Christ, there's a lot of misogyny. There's a lot of...
wife beating.
Like racism, racism.
They don't show the wife beating, but they allude to it and refer to it jokingly as if it's no big thing.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. It's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why they need to keep these details in these games if they're doing it. Oh, it's historical accuracy. But at the same time, you're talking about they miss so much history that they have to include that fucking detail. Is just the person wanted to include it because they wanted to include
it's
it.
It's edgy.
Right, exactly. It's stupid edgelord shit. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like this game would be better, too, if there was other things to do besides the missions. And yeah, if you're driving from one place to another, there's sometimes side activities. So
yeah, but those are equally boring.
Yeah, there's like a robbery that's happening that you need to stop somebody. Or you need to stop somebody from jumping out of a tower. But it's,
oh, do you remember when that happened?
Yeah, it was so... You just get to the top and you talk to the guy.
And he's like, all right.
All right, I'll
get down. Climbs back in. And then the game over, that particular instance in the game is over. Oh, this is, it's just so, it's almost like they were like, hey, we have this great motion capture technology. We really want to find a way to use it that's going to make a big splash. But then they didn't invest any time or money into creating something that will actually keep people interested above and beyond the initial, ooh, flashy.
Yeah. And so we also, because we played the PS4 version, we had all the DLC, so all the extra missions. Oh, so yeah. Everybody who's listening, we played every fucking minute of this game. We didn't skip anything.
Brutal.
The worst part about the DLC, and like that includes like the Reefer Madness was DLC.
What is the DLC again?
Extra content you could purchase after the game was...
What does DLC stand for?
Downloadable content.
Got it.
The worst part of the DLC wasn't the fact that you had extra length stuff to do. It was the fact that at the very end of the game, mm-hmm. before the final mission,
yeah,
you had to do a DLC mission.
Right? Out of nowhere. And we were like, how is this going to tie in? It didn't, no. Of course. It did not.
It was like an explosion. Nicholson electroplating.
Here's another hour of your time wasted.
It was like a good hour, 20 minutes, too.
Yeah, it was like one of the longest ones.
It's ridiculous.
Sandwich that right
And it didn't in tie there. In whatsoever.
Nope.
The only thing is that there was a giant explosion that looked like a nuclear bomb blast, and you got to see the Spruce Goose.
Oh, yeah, they were really grasping at straws, trying to be like, let's make this really,
yeah,
really noir, yeah. Really Hollywood.
1940s Hollywood, yeah.
And you know what really bums me out? So at first, it was nice to drive around, you know, vintage LA, retro LA, and be like, yeah. Oh, I wonder if this and is like what
the,
actually
the cars
like.
Are cool. The cars are licensed. We saw in the credits, mm-hmm. too, that some of the, so they're like real cars. They weren't like cars they just invented. Those were like real models.
Right.
Some of the models they got, they must have scanned some of Jay Leno's cars because they were from Leno Garage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big thanks.
Which is pretty funny. Yeah. So yeah, all licensed cars. Cars were really cool. I didn't necessarily like driving around in them because they were slow as balls, mm-hmm. because but that's what cars were back then. But right.
Boats.
It wasn't bad. I'd say the worst part in terms of gameplay was the following people on foot. That was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
When you couldn't be seen by them, and like they would be like three blocks down the street and they turn around and instantly see you.
My favorite was go incognito, and it meant you'd just like bring your hand up to the tip of your hat.
No, it's like, it's not even that. So some of it's like go incognito and you just stare at a window display.
Oh, yeah. You don't even read
like,
a newspaper.
You don't even like hide. You're just
like, oh, busy.
Yeah, and if you're incognito, you can't be seen.
Right. I absolutely loved it. We were following that woman in the yellow dress or what have you.
Yeah.
And she had the big red suitcase. She literally just turned around and stared at you, and it was so creepy because it took a minute for it to register that we had lost because it froze or something.
Yeah.
So it was just her like staring at you from the distance, and then it faded to gray, and it was like, case failed.
Yeah, so I mean, some of the gameplay stuff that you do besides investigating people is you have to follow them in cars or follow people on foot. Or there's like sometimes when there's fights and the fights are just really bad when you have to like fist fight somebody. It's basically just mashing on a button.
I did like that you got an award for keeping your hat on during a fight.
An achievement.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty lame.
Yep.
But what I thought was probably the... I don't know if maybe we were just really bored with the game and really sick of it at this point, but it seems as if the creators of the game were also getting bored and sick of it, because towards the end there were some serious errors in not only continuity but just in terms of gameplay. Like when suddenly, what was it, like you'd open up a cabinet and just be like, whoa, and like blow back.
Yeah, it was weird.
Or like you'd walk through a door that wasn't open yet.
I mean, it's buggy. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty buggy.
And that didn't start happening until the very end. So it was almost like they even threw in the towel.
I think you just started noticing it more at that point. Because that's just game engine stuff. And it was happening all the time.
I was just hating it so much.
There was a moment in the Nicholson electroplating where our car got dented at the top and his hat was going through the roof of the car, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was great.
But yeah, so the so after you do the vice desk, mm-hmm. one of the guys on, so this is spoilers for people who don't want spoilers.
I mean, we're saving you at least 21 hours worth of trouble.
Yes, so. Yeah, don't play this game.
Thank us for this spoiler.
So vice, when you get to vice, you learn that your partner is on the take. He's taking bribes or whatever.
Corrupt.
He's a corrupt guy. And there's like a big plot in the city. And you start learning it really in the Vice Desk missions.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of Vice, you get busted down to arson. So you're on the promoting and you see you're the golden boy. And then suddenly you're not.
Yeah.
And so in the last like section, you don't play as Cole Phelps, which you've been playing as for 20 hours for like the vast majority of that arson section. There's like two or three missions, and then you play as like his squad mate from World War II, who's an insurance adjuster.
Who you just randomly meet in the game.
Right, Jack Kelso.
At the end.
And then even like the last mission you play as him, you don't play as Cole Phelps for the majority of it. So in the last mission, you play as Jack Kelso and also Cole Phelps, and it switches back and forth. Mm-hmm. But in like the last 10 minutes, you find out that one of your squad mates was the guy who was doing all the arson for this group of corrupt government employees. Cole Phelps ordered the massacre of civilians in Okinawa, mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to him, but he then ordered the wounded who were massacred to be shot by the soldiers. He then got shot by Jack Kelso. Jack then kills.
So convoluted.
Kills his former squad mate, who we found in the sewers, the guy, the firebug,
mm-hmm.
And all of the evidence to expose the grand conspiracy goes down the toilet drain with that firebug.
Mm-hmm.
And Phelps dies while trying to get his buddy out and his love interest, who wouldn't even talk about, who Cole Phelps is like this nice stand-up guy. They hint kind of throughout the game that he has like a bad history, but it's very opaque.
And they just randomly halfway through the game are like, oh, what do your wife and kids think of that? And we're like, he has a wife and kid.
Like, yeah, well, there's like, they talk about a wife and kids, but they never show them until like the last 5 hours. But then like, for some reason, he's having an affair with a singer who's a
what was her name? Elsa?
Elsa, a German girl who, she is a morphine addict too. Mm-hmm. And like, why is this upstanding guy having an affair with this lounge singer?
Out of nowhere, too.
Out of nowhere.
There was like, they had one pretty standard interview session, no different than any of the other interviews. And then the next thing you know, he's like following her home and she's inviting him in.
It's weird.
But they didn't even show any of that. They just saw her open the door. And then it faded out. And then the next day, it fades in on him, like, walking through her courtyard. And then you're left to assume something happened.
Well, Roy Earl, his partner, also follows him. That's why they blackmail him to bust him down to arson. But I thought the whole thing was going to be like he was working with her to like expose some crime.
There's so much opportunity, but they just blew it.
They were just like, nah, he's having an affair.
You know, I would have even forgiven so this show.
Because he was supposed to be like a really upstanding guy, and he was working his way through the ranks, and then just suddenly he's just having an affair out of nowhere.
You know, I would have forgiven this game a lot of its boring time and errors in gameplay. I would have forgiven a lot of it if they had given me something to, I don't know, get excited about, like, hey, guess what? We're going to show somewhat graphic sex scene. We're going to use motion capture to the best of its ability. And I would have been like, all right, I'll watch this.
I'm playing Red Dead Redemption and there was a sex scene and it was not good.
Oh, really? Okay, here's a random side
question. Rockstar, they usually like include sex scenes, and they're never sexy whatsoever.
Do, I mean, and this is probably like a subject for a different podcast, but are sex scenes included in a lot of games the way that they are in like movies?
It's really always really weird because tits become really polygonal.
Polygonal.
So they're like jagged. Mm-mm. And weird looking.
Like daggers?
I'm trying to think of like what games I know that have sex scenes. And like I mentioned Red Dead Redemption. GTA 4, one of the DLCs has a sex scene where you see a big schlong.
A big schlong? Seriously?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
God of War had a scene where you in that game, every girl didn't wear a shirt.
Weird.
Yeah, it's very, very misogynist.
So
I'm trying to think of other games. There's not very many.
So how graphic are the sex scenes, aside from seeing boobs and big schlongs?
About as graphic as you would get in an R-rated movie.
Mm, got it.
I mean, the schlong you don't really ever see in movies.
Well, it's becoming, I mean, much to my pleasure, it's becoming more and more common. Equal rights.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yep.
One thing we didn't comment on, so I mentioned that Cole Phelps dies. At the very end of the game, this game has one of the worst endings I've ever.
Oh yeah.
For any game.
I wanted you to throw the remote.
So the end of the game is that, so there's this grand conspiracy where, like the mayor and the DA and the chief of police and all these other people and like this detective are all involved, and like real estate developers are all involved in like cheating GIs out of money and screwing the government of money. Mm-hmm. And the end of the game is like you have the guy who's lighting the fires that cause people to burn their homes down, and is kind of like the catalyst for this conspiracy. You've got him cornered, and then you find out that he's fucking crazy, and Jack Kelso, not the main character, but who's Cole Phelps, but Jack Kelso kills him. Mm-hmm. And then Cole Phelps dies, and then at Cole Phelps' funeral, Roy Earl, who's the corrupt cop, he's giving the eulogy for Cole Phelps.
Right.
With the chief of police and all the people, the conspirators are behind him.
Everything that he worked to expose is just dead with him.
Yeah. So he just died, and the conspiracy keeps going on with everybody making money.
Yeah. Why did Jack Kelso not do anything? He knew what was up.
He didn't have any proof. There was no evidence.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So even though there's tons of evidence. because we found out that they were using studio prop lumber to build houses.
Again, like it.
That's clearly labeled studio prop on the lumber.
I know, right? That you'd think that any construction worker would be like, I don't think this is quite right.
So, yeah, there's. So at the end of the game is that your nemesis is giving your eulogy with everybody who's the enemy that's behind you and your main character, and you're dead. And I had to look up and be like, was this the bad ending? Did I have to do something else to get the good ending? And nope, there's just one ending, and it's really just terrible.
It's really like, fitting it just for
makes,
this game.
Makes me feel like I wasted my time.
That's what I'm saying. It's a really fitting end to a really wasteful game.
Right. And so we get to the moment of truth where we rank our game. And so you're going to help me this time. Because
are we already done dissecting
it? Yeah, I think we're done dissecting it. The core conceit of this game is figuring out if people are lying. And that's my biggest problem with this game is that you can't really figure it out. So the main focus and driver of this game, figuring out if people are lying or not, doesn't really work.
Right.
So that's why I think this game is essentially a bad game. And besides that, I think the environments are bland. I think everything that is around that conceit is there's not much diversion, and it's pretty standard and or bad.
Right.
I think the faces are phenomenal, but again, the bodies attached are really of the time period, which is not good. Mm-hmm. Like they've gotten better, but they're still like not anywhere close to what that face technology was.
Right.
Also, this is one of the most expensive games to develop that was ever developed. You know that?
Really? Did it recoup its money?
I do not believe so, because immediately after this game's release, the studio behind it folded.
I see.
So they went bankrupt. And, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept, but at the same time, it was tremendously long for just being an interesting concept.
I wanted to quit.
This game had to be, should have been like 8 hours. Like, that's a standard length for like a unique concept game. There was no variety to the game. Mm-mm. There's no overarching plot until the very, very end.
And then they rush through it without explaining it.
We didn't even mention that Cole Phelps, the main character, was like white toast, bland ass character.
For what is that? Milk toast? Milk toast?
Milk toast, yeah.
Milk toast? Yeah, is that how you say it?
Milk toast.
That's funny.
Milk toast.
There's a Q in there. Q U.
Milk toast.
Milk toast.
Kim, what other words have you failed to pronounce?
So many.
Vogue.
Vague. Vague. How do you say it?
How do you spell the round thing? How do you say the round thing that you put cream cheese on?
A bagel.
Oh.
What do I call it?
You used to call it a bagel.
A bagel?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assimilating into New England culture after a decade.
What do you put stuff in when you go to the store?
A bag.
A bag? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I mean, the side characters were not fleshed out whatsoever, except for Jack Kelso in like the last hour.
Right.
So
I feel like if you want to play LA Noire, do yourself a favor and just get through the first desk. Just get through the street one. And don't get excited when you get promoted to the next level, because it's just more of the same.
You know what's funny too is like, all the other Rockstar games, Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption, they are a lot of times satire. Mm-hmm. So they'll use like semi-real stuff. So instead of New York City, it's Liberty City, but it looks a lot like New York City. And like instead of Los Angeles, it's San Andreas. Mm-hmm. And they have like a lot of different things that just make fun of America today.
Oh.
Red Dead Redemption does that a little bit too, a little bit less so, but it's a lot of satire and like fun stuff, mm-hmm. and like nods to our current world and what's happening
right
in the news and whatever. This game played everything so straight.
Yeah, well, I think it was meant to be like some sort of love letter to old Hollywood, and that wore thin so quickly.
Yeah, it just was not good. It had no character to it.
No.
So bland.
It was really bland.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can stress that enough. Do not play this game for anything more than the first desk that you are assigned to. Anything above and beyond that is a waste of your time.
So,
they couldn't even make murder fun. Investigating homicides and seeing the things you see on a crime scene,
it was just so same. The same. It was like five in a row of a woman.
Exact woman same
who was dying,
thing.
Who everybody thought it was their husband. For like 5 hours, yep. We did that.
Oh, it was her husband.
Oh, it was just her husband. Yeah. Oh, it was her husband.
Yeah, jealous guy.
Every time it was the husband.
Every time, husband. And then at the very end of that particular section, they're like, oh, guess what? It's actually a serial killer. And you have to go on like this weird hunt through LA to find clues.
Oh yeah,
that are,
I forgot about that part.
This is where I was like, this game makes no sense, I hate it so much. But the clues are all poems from, what was it, like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or something?
No, it was just Shelley. It was Shelley's a poet.
I think it was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein this whole time?
Shelley is a poet, yeah.
You know, I haven't read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, so I didn't think that any of these writings would be fitting to what I knew about Frankenstein. But since I hadn't read it, I didn't know. But I was like, that's a weird choice.
Percy Bysshe Shelley.
Hmm. Did I comment that, like, it was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and you just never corrected me?
You never said Mary Shelley's Frankenstein until right now.
Oh, so this whole time I've been thinking that this psychotic killer was just like dropping quotes from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah, no. And plus there was a lot of stuff around the edges that was like, so part of the reason why he was doing that is because Shelley at the time had radical leftist thoughts, like political thoughts.
Oh, and so there's some tie in there.
Yeah, and like there was a bunch of like communists that lived in like shanty towns, and like there was a whole
a lot of random commie references,
like anti-communism, like communist people are bad stuff.
I mean, that was true in the 40s. They really were afraid of.
Yeah, they were afraid, but they weren't necessarily bad people.
Oh well, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying that they were, but they were generally perceived as.
Do you want to go outside and fight about this?
Do you not know about the Red Scare?
Yes, but they weren't bad people.
They were?
They were not.
I know that they were not. You and I are on the same page.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that they were generally perceived to be very bad people.
Right. By the powers that be.
Right. Like, they were numero uno enemy.
Yeah, so fuck the anti-communist propaganda in this game. But onto our list here. We are deep into our conversation. You worked with me on Phantasmagoria, which is our 43rd game right
now. It's moved down to 43?
Well, more games have been added.
Do we have to revisit?
So this game, is not better than Phantasmagoria.
Yeah, make me laugh.
Phantasmagoria has a cryptic gameplay, but everything around the gameplay, the story,
was entertaining.
FMV, yeah, it was super entertaining.
For as bad as it was in many regards, it was still very entertaining. L.A. Noire, I had to force myself to finish it. And most of the time, I just spent fooling around on my phone because I didn't care about what was happening
at
all. And
then if we move down for other comparisons, there's Night Trap and Deja Vu. So Night Trap is the game that is a full motion video game. You have to stop the mm-hmm. guys that come in and who are like Dracula type. They suck the blood out of people.
Right, I remember.
I enjoy playing that game a lot more than I played this game. And I think that game has more of a legacy in terms of... it basically led to the creation of the ratings in video games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this game goes below that.
Yeah.
And I think it also goes below Deja Vu, which actually, yeah. I think Deja Vu works better as a noir.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made
significantly earlier.
Yeah. So 25 years before.
Right.
So I think it goes below Deja Vu. And then the other things that are in there. So
do we have to rank it in the same kind of area that similar games are ranked, or can we just randomly plug it in at the bottom because that's how bad it is?
Well, we can't put it at the bottom because it's not worse than Jurassic Park Trespass.
Right, right.
It's not worse than Pro Wrestling, which is number 64 for the Sega Master System.
Okay.
It's not worse than Home Alone for the NES.
Yeah, I watched you play Home Alone, and that was equally as boring. But it wasn't 21 hours long.
It's definitely not worse than Spy vs. Spy, which is also a buggy and broken mess. It's not worse than Pit Fighter. I want to put this game at like there.
I mean, and that's the thing is I don't really have a lot of input on this because I don't have a basis for comparison against other bad games. I just know that this is one of the worst games I have ever played.
Yeah. There's a part of me that wants to put it above Monster in My Pocket, which is our number 60 game. Just because it has an interesting premise and an interesting technology that it used.
Right. I mean, we do owe credit where credit is due.
And I think it also probably goes above John Madden Football 93, which is kind of just another Madden football game. And it was okay, but it seems a little bit deeper. And it probably goes above Magic the Gathering, the deck building game at number 58. But I think it stops there. I don't think it goes any higher than that.
Please don't make it go any higher than that. I think it's not worthy.
Good news is our new number 58 on our list.
You know, the thing that ultimately disappointed me the most is I'm a big fan of vintage, retro, old Hollywood glamour. And
it's why you wanted to play the game based on the advertising.
Right? Yeah. It was very intriguing to me. And I was like, oh, and it also is like an investigation game. And I can go in and like accuse people and figure out what's going on and put clues together. Everything seemed right. And I think that's ultimately why I'm so disappointed is because it sucks.
You know, I'm looking at this list now and there's a game called Thrasher Skate and Destroy. There's a skateboarding game where before skateboarding games were really a thing, it kind of had really bad controls, but it's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game goes slightly above that game just because of the technology and stuff.
You put it wherever you think is fitting. And I mean, I do say, yes, we have to acknowledge and recognize the technological advancements and efforts and the good that was part of this game. I don't think it overwhelms the game to the point where I would consider it a good game.
I would rather play Paperboy, which is number 54, than this
game. I would rather
play
Paper, Rock, Scissors than this game. Like, repeatedly for 21 hours, than L.A. Noire for 21 hours.
You are way harder on this game than I am. Let's just put it that way, but I think we have a new number 55, and I think that's a fair place to put it out of 66.
Go ahead. I am so excited to close this chapter in our lives because I never want to think about this game. I'm not even going to listen to this podcast because I just don't want to think about L.A. Noire ever again. I'm so angry with it.
I'm sorry. What did I do to hurt you?
Nothing. This isn't on you. Don't take it personally.
Did Cole Phelps touch you?
No, but his wife beating partner. I'm afraid he's inspired you in too many ways.
Which one?
Oh, did they all? No, the second one who was your homicide one. I feel like the homicide
that was the third one.
Was the...
You don't even remember the second one.
What was the second one?
It was the traffic. It was not traffic. It was the car theft guy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the murder desk was the most, like, visually...
Well, the thing with the murder desk is that it lasted, I think, much longer than any of the other desks.
I think we slowed down at that point, too.
Oh, we, like, took some hiatus weeks.
Yeah. Because this game took so long.
How long have we been playing it for? Since, like, November,
you said? Since the end of November.
It's been months.
Been months
of, like, working this game into our evenings to get it over with.
And we did it.
What a chore this was.
Our new number 55, LA Noir.
Yeah.
On the endless list.
I wish that this could have been a more entertaining recap, but I'm just so let down by it that I can't even make it fun.
Our 66th game. Thank you, Kimberly, for joining me.
Yeah.
You can find our complete endless list. It's linked here in our Medium page in the podcast description. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. At It's So Bad Pod. Yeah. Gmail is, if you'd like to email us, it's So Bad Pod at gmail.com. And we'll be back next week with yet another episode.
Yeah.
Who knows what that episode
Sorry
will be.
For being so hateful during this time. I'm much more cheery in person, but this game...
Are you, though? Really?
I think many people would say that I'm a delightful treat to be around.
Yes. I don't think Cole Phelps would appreciate you, though. Call you a dame and say, hey, Mac.
Hey, Mac. Hey, Mac. Hey, Mac. What was it that they were calling? Princess. Hey, princess. They'd call all these...
No, they say sister.
Sister.
Yeah, what's up, sister?
No, what is it? Jack Kelso kept calling everyone princess.
Oh, yeah. And Roy Earl would say, save it for someone else, sister.
Oh, yeah. Sister. And all the dudes were called Mac.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac.
All right. Well, thank you, Kimberly, for joining me.
You're welcome. Goodbye, LA Noir. Forever.
Go fuck yourself.
Bye.